This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you got Perloff. You don't have Maggie today. Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie is out, but I am so psyched, excited, thrilled to have Andrew Bogut here for one reason. He is a New York Giants fan, and they have signed Russell Wilson. And to me, this is not just the funniest quarterback room in the NFL. It's the funniest quarterback room in NFL history. You got Jameis Winston. You got Russell Wilson. You got Thomas DeVito. I mean,
you get a car and you get a car and you get a quarterback. Let's
and
go.
Let's add Shedeur Sanders. Yeah, let's add Shedeur Sanders at number three overall.
Or Jackson Dart. Bringing them all. You're all on the Price is Right. Let's go.
Are you
Giants country? Let's ride.
Let me phrase the question this way. How can you possibly be excited about signing Russell Wilson at high backup money? Basically, you're investing about $15 million next year in Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, yeah. And you don't even have a catchphrase from Russ yet. It is, and I don't know if you're going to be able to come up with one. I've jotted down some ideas for later in the show.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
But I don't know that this is going to help you basically change the course of the last 10 years, which has been bad in New York.
Well, therein lies the answer as to why I'm excited by this, because the last 10 years in New York have been a disaster, mm-hmm. and that quarterback position in particular has been shameful, embarrassing, soul-crushing, and somehow Russell Wilson is an exponentially better option than the people that played the position last year. So let's ride.
Well, how is he better? I understand last year was a disaster, but is he good enough with this team around him to be better, say, than he was down the stretch in Pittsburgh or than he was in Denver? Or is he just, at this point of his career, sort of a middling guy who needs a great team around him to do anything?
Next question.
I
understand all of the problems, and I am not, there are only a handful of teams, maybe one other, that I would advocate signing Russell Wilson and or Aaron Rodgers at this point, but the Giants are on that list because I can't do this again, and this opens up to a whole new set of problems. I get that. I think I've self-diagnosed myself with Stockholm syndrome? Like the Giants are my keeper. They have kept me prisoner, and now I think they're the smartest people in the world. The table has turned.
Well, that's ridiculous.
And this is just better. It's just better. It is not great. It is not the long-term solution. It might not be the solution as of December 1st of this year, but this is better than it was. And for a second, I can relax. And also, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but this does not change my hope, and I assume their plan, to pick a quarterback in this draft. I don't think it's going to be Shador at number three, but maybe it's somebody else later in the first round, early in the second. I keep mentioning Jackson Dart. He's my guy, is the next quarterback to get off this list. I don't know anymore where his landing spot is currently in terms of just overall draft space, but Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and $15 million guaranteed dollars does not take them out of the rookie quarterback market. So let's go. Let's ride.
Okay, let's play this out then. If they don't take Shador Sanders, assume Cam Ward, the Miami quarterback, goes number one to the Titans.
Yeah.
Abdul Carter goes number two to the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Your Giants are going to pass on Shador Sanders despite 90% of mock drafts having Shador going to Big Blue.
Yeah.
Give and who Travis are you taking?
Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter. Okay.
Let's go. So let's ride.
Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston throwing to Travis Hunter and Malik Nabers.
Yes.
What is your future at the quarterback? And okay, so you're taking Tyler Shuck in the second round, or Quinn Ewers, or Jalen Milroe, or somebody who is a second round talent.
I don't know if all of them would be my preference. I'm particularly intrigued by Jackson Dart. So
he ain't going to be there in the second round.
Well, I understand. So do they need to come back into the late teens, early 20s? Do they need to maybe just even move back a couple of steps and gain an asset and take him at 8 or 9 or 10? I don't know. But I just, like, I'm okay with them not drafting Shador Sanders. And I've been on this from the beginning. You and I had off-air conversations. I was all in on Matthew Stafford. Trade for him, 50 mil for a year. Draft somebody else later in the draft. Use number three on a high-end actual non-quarterback, whether it was Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or anybody else that came along at that point, you know, who was worthy of the third pick. So this has been my idea for them the entire offseason, is to find a bridge guy, because Shador spooks me a little bit. And not even anymore about, like, Dion and off-field stuff and whatever. I just don't know how good he is anymore, or I don't know how much better he is, Shador Sanders or Travis Hunter and Jackson Dart. I want plan B. I want that second option. I don't think there's a big enough gap between Shador and Jackson Dart to have to take Shador at number three.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, and it's perfect logic. I think that's a little bit of bogus logic, because I do think there's another camp who thinks Shador is above the rest of the field. And I think there's a good chance they take him at number three.
Yeah, I mean, and they might.
That'd
be great, too.
Tell me what happens if you have... Shador is 23. He's much like Jaden Daniels. He's ready to go. You can't really sit him for an entire season. So do you do what the Giants did back in, I think it was 06 or 05? Or actually, it must have been 04.
Maybe when you remember that, right?
Kurt Warner was the starter.
Yes. I was there.
Played him 7 or 8 games, and then sat him for Eli. Is that what Russ is possibly looking at with either a Shador Sanders or a Jackson Dart? Because I do agree. I think they're going to draft a quarterback. I think it's more likely to be Shador, but they'd love to get Jackson Dart later on. If they have that rookie quarterback, to me, then Russ is setting himself up for a very, very difficult bridge position to get out of, in the sense that he might start week one, but that will not last.
No, and you know, it's only $10 million guaranteed. Like, that's not a lot of money. That's not a commitment to Russell Wilson being your guy for the entire season. Maybe they've been honest with Russ. Maybe Russ knows what the deal is. Maybe Russ is okay with it at this point. And maybe Russ knows that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Steeler, so this was his only other option. You know, it looks like he picked the Giants over Pittsburgh, but we actually don't know if Pittsburgh was an option.
Pittsburgh's waiting for Rodgers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, like, this might have been really his only job.
Yeah.
So he's got to do whatever they want to do, and that might be Shador, and that might mean Russ never starts for the Giants, and it might mean that Jameis never is a Giant on an active roster in week one, because they can cut Jameis Winston if they want to after drafting a rookie quarterback.
New York's going to not like Russell Wilson. I'll tell you that right now. Unless the team is 6-0, they are going to have a lot of problems with this guy's personality. Because I like Russ personally. I've kind of known or been around him a long time. He used to come on DP show all the time, even going back to Wisconsin. The issue with Russ is he doesn't come off as authentic. And I think New York, I think the callers to our sister station, WFAN, they want sort of a man's man. They're probably going to be calling for Tommy DeVito, or they'll be calling for Jameis, who is a big personality. It just doesn't feel like a natural fit to me.
I was about the beefcake, boys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, Somebody, a local host, said to me, I don't know if he's enough of a man's man, which made me laugh. I just think it's a funny fit to me, Russell Wilson, and that's why I think he is nothing more than a bridge quarterback here.
Oh, I mean, that he's on a one-year contract. No matter what, like, he's not going to be here in 2026. It's just what he does in between now and then that changes things. And the only thing that would really matter here is how he plays. If he plays well and they're a competitive football team and he's not wetting himself and getting sacked 18 times a game, then the cheesy Russ stuff is less annoying.
You know what the problem on the field, and you saw it in Pittsburgh, to me, there were a lot of opportunities for Russ to run, and his wheels have fallen off so badly. There would be 10 yards to take, and he would get six out of it, where Justin Fields in Pittsburgh would have gotten the 10 yards. I think the best year that Dable had in New York was when Daniel Jones was running like crazy. And Daniel Jones
he had Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, but I think as an Eagles fan, I'll tell you, the bigger problem was Daniel Jones running for first downs. And the problem with Russ is he really can't do that. That was probably his best skill in Seattle. And come fourth quarter, you could not stop Russell Wilson on the ground. Now you really can. So that's another thing that worries me. I'm not sure this offense is going to be fully formed with him there. I think he will start week one, even if they draft someone. And I think this is a tough spot for Russ.
If they draft Shador, I don't know that Russ starts week one. If they draft anybody else, then Russ probably starts week one. But Shador at number three probably is their starter from the second he's drafted.
I was going back to Kurt Warner, Eli. Eli was number one overall. I know it was a different year.
Different times, too. Different thought processes.
But the Giants are always trying to recreate the past. They're trying to create the glory days, which is why, in my mind, hey, let's talk about it, because I think it's an issue that's out there with the Titans and the Giants. Are there possible they're waiting for Arch Manning next year and they just pass on a quarterback altogether? This move would indicate that's an option.
I think it's on the table, but again, you're asking me to go down a path that we've been doing for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and the Giants seem incapable of actually finishing off the job. This should have been settled by now. They've now twice, back-to-back years, they have screwed this up. They should have been, they were in position. They had control of their destiny to, at the very least, have either Jaden Daniels 2 years ago or be sitting right now at number one, geeking out over Cam Ward's pro day, going, that's our guy. We're done. This could be over.
Wow, Jaden Daniels.
But they can't do it. So you're like, sure, let's tank for Arch. Absolutely. But the Giants seem incapable of actually accomplishing that. So I have zero trust that they could get there. Plus, you don't know, one win might be too many next year for Arch Manning. So I think you can't rule it out, they wouldn't have signed Jameis and Russ if they wanted to do that.
Yeah. Also, to me, this says they're not going to trade up to number one this year for Cam Ward. I thought that might still... Well, I mean, there are a lot of insiders who say that's still on the table.
Oh, and now the Titans are talking a good game because Cam threw well to air and no defenses. And like, oh, the price just went up.
I think the Titans are eyeing that number one pick for the Giants next year. And I don't think the Giants want to give it up. Probably the same with the Browns. I do think that Cam Ward would be a better fit than Shador Sanders for the Giants right now. I just think he's just a little better quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Jackson Dart, it's interesting. There are a lot of people think the Jets are interested in him and the Saints are interested in him. So that's 7-9, so the Giants might not be able to afford to wait on him.
And that's the problem with my overall plan, is that when Matthew Stafford was in flux, Jackson Dart was on the board at the beginning of the second round. Mm. And now he has slowly crept into the back of the first round, and now there are these reports and these links, and we're coming off a year where all of a sudden we had Penix, Bo Nix, and J.J. McCarthy relatively out of nowhere go, 8, 10, and 11, 8, 11, and 12? Like, so we're probably going to get to a place where Jackson Dart is going to be a top 10 pick, even though he's technically not worthy of that. Mm-hmm. So my idea of the Giants flipping it here and using three on somebody else and coming back for him is only gets harder by the day to accomplish.
Absolutely.
So they may have to, air quotes, not begrudgingly, but have to take Shador at three to make sure they leave this draft
with
a future quarterback.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think a little higher on Shador than you. I would take Shador over Jackson Dart any day of the week. But
you can't take Jackson Dart at three ahead of Shedeur Sanders. But if somebody wants to pay for three to get to Shedeur and you move back where Dart is still in your reach, I think that's okay, too.
Well, Jackson Dart will move up. I'm telling you right now, last year, Michael Penix was not considered a first-rounder. He was considered a second-rounder, went number eight. Last year, Bo Nix entered the draft process as a second-rounder, went pick 12.
And there are people...
And J.J. McCarthy, too, moved up. And, it happens.
And there were giant beat guys yesterday flushing this all out, talking about how the draft works, and they were saying that only Sean Payton was going to take Bo Nix where Bo Nix was taken. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's how off the board... And surprising the Penix Knicks picks might have been in that scenario.
Yeah, which I never understood. I mean, did people watch Michael Penix? I know he was old and injury prone, but Tyler Shuck is possibly a first rounder. He's 25.
I think the concern was were his knees, right? I mean, that was the problem with Penix.
Have we heard anything about those?
No, but it's only 1 year.
And Bo Nix, too. I think if you put Bo Nix into this mix, I think he's probably would have gone higher than Jackson Dart. I don't know about him and Shedeur. That would have been close. There are people that say Cam Ward would have been the seventh quarterback taken last year. You see, the problem with, one thing about Cam Ward and Shedeur, they're not tall. They're 6'1" and a half, which is not a guarantee to go top three. All right, do you like Russ Wilson to the Giants? Do you even think that he's going to be the starter there? Bogus is not so sure if a rookie comes in. Give us a call, 888-710-4ISN.
Mr. Unlimited.
That's 888-710-4476. Want a sneak peek of some of my Russ expressions?
Be careful,
please.
Though.
So
it's spicy.
I didn't even know this. I was looking this up last night. He had one in Pittsburgh that I don't think ever caught fire. It was called Win the Seventh.
I think I vaguely remember that.
Okay. Let's Ride, obviously, was an ironic way to insult Russ after Denver. Let's Blue. I don't know what that means.
No.
Whoa.
Yeah, easy. Easy.
Let's Go Blue.
What is that?
I don't know.
That's first grade.
Well,
they already do that.
How about Giant Up? I don't know what it means. This is going to be hard.
These are your best ones?
No, this is just a sneak peek.
Oh, okay.
This is a sneak peek.
Not a good tease for the rest of the
list. It's hard because, what do Giants do? Let's stomp around and be giant.
Well, you got to put yourself in Russ's shoes here. So, Broncos Let's Ride, I think, was like a cowboy, he's going to...
Broncos country, let's ride.
He's going to put himself in, Jersey, New York mode. So he may give you, a Tommy DeVito hand signal. He might give you a bad Sopranos accent.
Russell Wilson is not giving you a Tommy DeVito.
He became a cowboy in Denver.
Do you think Russ is going to be out here, forget about it?
Yeah. Have you met... You met the guy.
Yes, Russ is incapable of saying forget about it.
Unlimited.
It's not off the table.
All right. Do you like the Russ?
You can't see Russ trying to say gabagool somewhere?
Oh, my God. Show bet right now that the words gabagool never come out of Russell Wilson's mouth. You know why I like Russ? His dad went to Dartmouth. Russ and I have always bonded. His dad, who passed away, sadly, when Russ was really young. Russ is a unique guy. He's very, very buttoned up. I don't think he's got a gabagool in him.
We'll see.
That's a little secret.
He plays to the crowd, or tries to.
Here's the question. Is he going to play well for the Giants? Who knows? All right.
The bar's low.
Andrew Bogus. Andrew Bogus filling in for Maggie Gray. We'll be right back with another big deal that came last night in the NFL, Maggie and Perloff Show.
Mr. Unlimited.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie today. Bogues thinks that Russell Wilson, the chameleon, is going to turn into basically a wise guy quarterback. He's going to come into his first press conference in New York and say, hey, forget about it. The traffic on 95 was just so bad. I was going to get some prosciutto.
I mean, he put on basically spurs and boots in Denver and became a cowboy.
That's why you have Tommy DeVito in that quarterback room. He does all that. You don't need Russ for that.
That makes sense, but... Russ doesn't always make sense in these circles.
You know, it's funny. Maggie argued last week that the Jets like stars, and they would go with Shedeur Sanders, have a Deion Shedeur thing. For some reason, I feel like the Jets are eyeing Jackson Dart. I don't know why. It's more of a vibe. He reminds me a little bit more of the kind of offense that they're running in Detroit. Shedeur and the Jets does not fit to me. Would it be funny if the Giants pass on a quarterback and the Jets got the rookie in here and the Giants are just going with Russell and Jameis?
I mean, except for the Jets having no luck, that would make total sense. The Giants, again, would get embarrassed at the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's just a funny situation. All right, meanwhile, back to the AFC East. New England Patriots signed Stephon Diggs. I got to be honest, I was blown away by this money. $26 million guaranteed reported and 3 years, $69 million for a guy who tore his ACL halfway through last year.
Yeah.
We saw Mike Williams could not recover from the same injury. Stephon Diggs is 31. This seems, on its surface to me, way too much money for a guy who's declining because of age. Of course, Stephon Diggs was great in his prime, but you're paying almost prime contract. I know it's short term in New England for a guy who I think there's just no way coming off an ACL he's going to be the same guy.
So I still think he can be useful, but I do want to kind of hit the pause button on this deal and see really what it is, because it's also, as people pointed out, the ratio of guaranteed to max value is a little off. Like, normally they're a little closer than 26 and 69 million, and those are the numbers given in this deal. So maybe 26 is not all fully guaranteed. Maybe some of it's only guaranteed fully at signing. The other is kind of for injury, and things change on different calendar dates and whatnot. But I don't mind in general Stephon Diggs being a Patriot and getting help for Drake May, even if it's not in week one. Yep. But it is odd, and it's much like the giant quarterback position. Stephon Diggs now, by default, is the Patriots' number one wide receiver, and he shouldn't be, just like Russell Wilson is now the Giants' number one quarterback, and he shouldn't be either, because the Pats can't draft a quarterback to save their life, much like the Giants can't find a quarterback to save their franchise. So there felt like some parallels here last night with these back-to-back signings of Russ and Diggs.
Yeah, I mean, Diggs was... Last year in Houston, I saw a stat that C.J. Stroud had 104 passer rating when he threw to him, but he was basically a slot receiver and a possession guy.
Yes.
His yards per reception were down close to a career low at 10 yards per. You know, he was at 10.1 yards, and the year before he was at 11.5. It's age, too. He's not going to be an outside receiver.
Right.
He's not going to be an explosive guy, and the Patriots just don't have that. And it's funny, signing this guy to me just highlights the fact that, they missed out on the number one. They reportedly offered a boatload for Chris Godwin. We know they've wanted Ayuk through the years from San Francisco.
Yeah.
And now
they didn't get Debo. They didn't get DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
And there is not a wide receiver like Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. in this draft that they could go after either.
No, not at all.
They also have infinity cap space.
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, but that depends on how you view him.
Yeah, I mean, Travis Hunter, if the New England takes him, they already have cornerbacks, so you assume that would be as a wide receiver. That's the number four overall pick. I view him as spectacular. Watch a Shedeur Sanders highlight, and you'll realize why Shedeur had good numbers at Colorado. You just throw it in the general area of Travis Hunter. He is a monster.
Yes, I agree, but it seems like the NFL's overall thought process right now is that he's a cornerback that also catches passes.
Ooh, I don't know. I'm not sure that's true.
I think, but that's what every GM said at the combine, except for one, said cornerback first.
I just don't see teams drafting him at cornerback.
But that's what they said out loud. That's all I can work off of.
Show me those quotes. I mean, look at the teams that are looking at him. He's not going to fall below five. The Giants already have the Giants need a wide receiver two more than a cornerback. To me, they've spent some money there. And also, too, they need explosion on offense. Paulson Adebo, they just signed him, and they have former high pick Deontay Banks. So I don't see him being a full-time cornerback there. That would be nuts to me to waste Travis Hunter. I've told Maggie this many times, you have to play him both ways. Because if you're a really bad team, you obviously could use a little spice on either side of the ball. The Giants and the Patriots are a classic example. Man, they just need excitement. There was a great rumor, by the way. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, said that the Cowboys should trade up for Travis Hunter because Travis Hunter is going to be instant excitement. To me, he's Shohei. You got to play him both ways. There's no way to me, if the Giants drafted him and number three and just played him at cornerback, that would be nuts. Because think about if he was any other cornerback, this is who you get. You're one of the most least explosive offenses in the NFL, and you're just going cornerback. You have to play him wide receiver.
So I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But my point was, I'm trying to find you the quotes right now, is that every GM at the Combine was asked about him playing. And Andrew Berry was the only one that seemed to commit to the idea of him being a full-time at both positions. Most teams were viewing him as a cornerback with wide receiver potential. At least that's what they said out loud.
I hear you. I hear
so,
you.
So, like, that's what I'm working off of. So, and that's why more than one person last night in dissecting Stephon Diggs and the Patriots pointed out that there wasn't a wide receiver to take. Now, that might have also been because he's not going to be there when they get on the clock. So they were already discounting Travis Hunter because he's just not available to them at their selection. So maybe that's after Travis Hunter, there's not a guy for them to take where they're sitting right now in this draft. So, but again, I still go back to the fact that I think that most teams, at least publicly, whatever the combine was a month ago, were looking at him cornerback first.
I think that conversation has changed. And I am going off of the fact that Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah, who we know talk to teams, seem to be leaning towards playing him a wide receiver. So
I hope they do.
It's also a matter of supply and demand. These teams that are drafting in the top five, and Jacksonville too, they definitely need some pizzazz on offense. So maybe it's both ways. But the Giants, for example, if you drafted Travis Hunter and
he should be on the field at all times. Can he punt?
Yeah, stuck him at cornerback. Oh my God, what a waste that would be. All right, give us a call. Do you like the Russ Wilson trade to the Giants? 877-888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And do you think Stephon Diggs makes sense to the Patriots? Again, to me, it just highlighted, man, how non-explosive this offense is. Then you add in Mike Vrabel, who really doesn't want to throw the ball all over the field anyway. He wants to run the ball. I'm just not so sure that this deal pays off. The other thing, too, I remember Mike Williams last year in New York coming off that ACL. That just wasn't the same. It was week 8, I believe, that Stephon Diggs tore his ACL last year.
Mike Williams is a little older?
Not really. No, I don't think so. How old is Mike Williams older than Stephon Diggs? Double check that. No, he's younger. He's 2 years younger.
Is he really?
Yeah.
My bad. Sorry, Mike Williams.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs is a sneaky 31. It came on a little bit later. All right. This is my first time throwing to you, Gordon Damer. I think it's your first time on the Maggie and Perloff show.
It is, yes.
Are you nervous? I mean, this is
big time.
It's
only a second shift period here.
Yeah. Saturday went well enough that I was allowed back in the building.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I've been listening to you for years. You're probably way too qualified for the show, to be honest. I think you're going to have to take your talent level down a few notches. Is that possible? Maybe mess up a couple words?
Well, I'm filling in for Bogus.
Yeah, so I know. That's what I mean.
Bars low.
Yeah, it's much like the giant quarterback position.
All right, Gordon, what do you got?
Well, first off, I'll tell you, headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Well, as you guys were talking about, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, when they were hired as the GM and head coach of the Giants, one of the biggest tasks in getting the team turned around was figuring out a solution at quarterback. So now heading into year 4 of their regime with Big Blue, they are going with Russell Wilson as their starting QB. Giants signing Wilson to a 1-year deal worth $21 million, $10.5 of which is guaranteed. Wilson will turn 37 in November. He's playing on his third team in 3 years. Last year in Pittsburgh, 11 games, threw for almost 2,500 yards, 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He joins Jameis Winston and Tommy DeVito in maybe the most interesting quarterback room in the entire NFL. Now the only question is, does this move mean that the Giants avoid taking a quarterback at 3? The NFL draft is 29 days away.
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord.
They're only paying these guys $15 million. There is nothing. I mean, Bogues, you follow this very close. Nobody thinks that this means they're not drafting a quarterback, right? Has anyone said that?
No. If it does, if they really are out on a quarterback, then they're doing this wrong.
My only question, though, is if you are still drafting a quarterback, why would you want Jameis Winston as QB3 unless Bogues said you're going to cut him before week one? That I don't understand. Because if you're in a situation where you have to go to QB3 during the season, that means your season is down the tubes. And at that point, you're probably looking to tank. So why the hell would you want a quarterback who could throw 30 touchdowns in a season?
So my guess would be that this is them covering all bases. Mm. Like if just something happens in the draft, they get jumped by somebody. Who knows, right? Could the Browns take Shador too? And then the competition is over. And they can't get back into Jackson Dart. They didn't want to have just Jameis and Tommy DeVito. So I think like what they have right now is their worst case scenario. Complimentary, you know, like as a compliment of Russ and Jameis backing him up, and then DeVito just being there because he's DeVito. I don't think they wanted to live in a world where they didn't draft a quarterback and they only had Jameis.
It sounds like you're describing a panic situation. They entered the offseason with zero quarterbacks.
Right.
They had to sign Tommy DeVito. So I think Bogus is right. I think they were just like, we got someone in this room. And then Russ became available because Pittsburgh went with Rodgers, at least in their head, went with Rodgers. They haven't signed him yet.
Right.
So I agree. That is going to be a mess. And what about our guy Tommy Cutlets in fourth string? You're just going to not let him play? We love Tommy Cutlets in New York. All right,
yeah,
Gordon.
That's the problem.
As you guys mentioned as well, up in New England, Patriots add a big weapon for Drake May. They get Stephon Diggs, 3 years, $69 million, 26 of which is guaranteed. He, of course, suffered that torn ACL back in Week 8, but he is said to be good to go and on track for Week 1. When he was with the Bulls, Jimmy Butler removed the rearview mirror in his truck as a reminder to never look back. Last night, Butler was forced to look back in Miami for the first time since forcing his way out in a trade to Golden State.
And number 10, Jimmy Butler!
Yeah, and it all went downhill from there. The Warriors got smoked by the Heat, 112-86. Golden State never led in the game. Steph Curry missed the game again, a second straight game because of a pelvic contusion. Butler was held to 11 points on the night, but did he get that important closure?
I mean, it was behind me a long time ago. As soon as I ended up a Golden State Warrior, everything that had went on, it was dead. So, you know, I always focus on, like, the right now and what's to come. So I'm here as a Golden State Warrior, and I got a job in it.
Yeah, and to show you how bad it was for the Warriors, at halftime, all five Warriors had exactly 2 points each.
By the way, EJ, nice regular season game you got there, NBA. I blame you in the NBA regular. I mean, that's a premier game. I was so excited to watch a competitive game. Just get to the playoffs. This regular season is that game was such a disappointment.
Well, it's not the NBA's fault. Jimmy Butler demanded a trade from the Heat, and then Steph Curry got hurt. Like, what are you talking about?
I'm just saying the NBA cannot muster together a big regular season game. This regular season feels like a waste of time. I'm being dead serious.
What does that have to do with last night?
Last night, it was supposed to be a big game. Jimmy Butler comes back to Miami, and of course, like the NBA is, it feels like one team bailed it in.
So you wanted to be professional wrestling where they script a game where it's the fourth quarter and Jimmy Butler has to shoot a game-winning shot to end the game? I don't know what you're talking about. It's competition. People get blown out.
It's not competition. I feel like NBA teams now late in the season, they're just sort of, if we're losing the game, we're just going to mail it in and move on to the next one. It doesn't feel like the intensity.
You mean 30-point and 20-point comebacks there have been this year? More than ever because of the 3-point line. So what are you talking about that people don't come back?
I was waiting for a dramatic game last night. I thought it was going to be Jimmy Butler last second.
You thought the Heat without Jimmy Butler and no Stephen Curry is going to give you a great game? I don't understand.
You mean the Warriors? Yeah.
Right, Warriors.
But what's the point of Jimmy Butler? Jimmy Butler's supposed to be the guy when Steph can't play who's going to lead the team. Yeah, I expected a competitive game. I thought he'd be fired up to go home. They scored 86 points.
You're expecting too much from Jimmy Butler at age 35. Sorry.
I've seen he's kicked butt since he got there. He's been great.
Right, with Stephen Curry, which is my point.
Help me out, folks.
I can't.
Because it's too logical. That's why.
No, the game should have been ugly last night in the Warriors' favor. The Warriors' no-showing last night was a little disappointing.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys really think Steph Curry, without Steph Curry, the Warriors are a good team?
We're 70.
They're better than the Heat.
Okay.
We're 72 games into this bad boy. It is time to start the playoffs, EJ.
The Warriors are playing guys I've never heard of before, and that's me. I mean, I think you guys are really underselling that Steph Curry did not play, so therefore the game was what it was.
How many wins do the Heat have this year? I mean,
they have an all-star on their team. They have two, actually.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's an all-star as well.
Right, but I keep saying, again, Jimmy Butler's not the player he used to be. So, again, I don't know. I don't know what you want. A scripted game where Jimmy Butler gets 40? Like, he's not capable of that anymore.
You haven't noticed that a lot of these big regular season NBA games have disappointed this year? I just feel like it's hard to get everybody on the court at the same time. I just feel, maybe I'm being nostalgic, old school. It used to be the regular season games felt like they had a little more heft. Maybe it's me.
Perhaps. I'm just saying, I don't know how you point to last night, again, where Steph Curry is hurt. We saw him fall on the ground. It's not like he's making up an injury. He gets hurt. Jimmy Butler, you're asking him to do something that he hasn't done all year.
Everybody was hyping up this game.
It was supposed to be a great game.
Nobody thought that the Warriors were going to score 86 points.
You really thought? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
You thought it was going to be a blowout? You should have bet that if you were so sure of this.
As soon as Steph Curry was not stepping on that floor, I had 0 inches in watching this game. I wanted to see the intro, see if they booed Jimmy Butler, which some of them did, some of them cheered. And that was all I cared about from this one. I don't know. The Heat are the Heat, and the Warriors without Stephen Curry have been a – look at their record without Stephen Curry for the majority of his time there. They're a miserable team without Stephen Curry. Especially since then the post-Durant days.
I'm looking – the Warriors were 5.5-point favorites.
Which was dumb.
Forget this take. You should have been betting the house on this if you knew it was going to be a blowout. Anyway, all right, Gordon, back to you.
Heat are 31-41 on the season, currently in the 10th spot in the Eastern Conference, to kind of help your quote.
I thought Jimmy could put the team on his back and compete here. I guess not.
Jimmy couldn't put the Heat on his back during the season and compete. I don't know, again, why he was supposed to have the Warriors.
Well, because he didn't want to in Miami, right?
Maybe he quit, but I don't know. I mean, that's maybe. I don't know. I just feel like we've seen Jimmy Butler, the best of him being the number one option. So this idea that he was going to go to Miami and put up 40, I didn't see that happen.
But he was ever going to do it. That would have been the game last night, no? I mean, he's given Taylor Rooks tough guy quotes before the game about Pat Riley, but he goes on the court and doesn't do that?
Again.
That's a testament to Jimmy Butler,
right.
I think.
Again, not, who do you guys think Jimmy Butler is? I'm so confused by this. Like, yes, Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy, is a certain guy. Okay, sure. But the guy who's been in and out of lineups, given half effort the last 2 years, I don't know who you guys think he's. Like LeBron? I don't understand.
No. I thought we were in it. We could have gotten playoff Jimmy Butler for a night.
I think when a team is a 5.5-point favorite, you could expect them to at least be competitive in the game. I don't think that's too much to ask for. But you're right. They stink without Curry. But I don't think that was ESPN was hyping up this game big time. All the analysts were talking about Jimmy coming back. If you knew it was going to be a blowout, I don't think everyone else did.
I just didn't think it was going to be a fun game. I've watched the Heat this year. I've watched the Warriors play without Stephen Curry. As soon as he was out, I was like, well, this is not as fun anymore. And I turned on the Knicks, and I turned on Daredevil. And I had a great night.
Oh, boy. There you go. All right, Gordon, what else you got?
Scary news for Damian Lillard, diagnosed with a blood clot in his right calf. He's on blood-thinning medication. He's out indefinitely. You might remember the Spurs shut down Victor Wembanyama back in February after he was diagnosed with a similar condition. For him, it's in his shoulder. The Thunder, first to 60 wins, beat the Kings 112-105. SGA had 32. And Alex Ovechkin moving a little closer to history last night.
Nice pass. Ovechkin scores! Alex Ovechkin, 889.
Yeah, career goal, 889. So now six away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time record. Caps 10 games to go in the regular season.
It's hockey.
We've been debating this, Gordon. What's your opinion? When does Wayne Gretzky start following the Capitals to be in the building?
I think you got to be within one, right?
Bogues, you had three, right?
I say three, because three is a...
When was the last time Ovechkin had three goals in a game, though?
I mean, this year.
But
three is doable. Mm-hmm. Like, three in a game is a thing.
It's a lot of travel. I mean, he's had a lot of games where he hasn't had any goals, right?
Well, of course. That's true of everybody.
Yeah, but you don't want to miss it. Three, but that's a lot of luckily, there's only 10 games left.
I just remember Aaron Judge's, he was going, you know, the Roger Maris family was traveling for like a week and a half, you know.
Yeah,
you don't want that.
Yeah, no, that would not be ideal. Gretzky,
Aaron Judge.
We had a big argument, Gordon, about whether Gretzky had anything better to do. And we all decided playing golf with Janet is number one priority.
Well, number one for you, I saw.
Yeah, well,
he doesn't want to play golf, right? Or play golf with Janet. Am I right, Perloff?
What's that? Meaning he wants to do other things?
Wink, wink. No, you with playing golf with Janet. That's what I'm alluding to. Don't you remember from Three Things?
Yeah, I mean, but that's in 1995. I would like to play golf with Paulina.
It's a little shot at Janet. Janet looks great now.
Yeah, that's a great take, though. Great take on Paulina.
Paulina has 100% approval rating. Have you ever been? I was at Pebble Beach, and Wayne and Paulina were there. Yeah. Wayne was not getting the crowds following him. Isn't this great, the stuff we can talk about without Maggie here?
Oh, 100%.
Great is one way to put it.
And also, we talk about this stuff with Maggie here.
Not a way
Maggie
I would put
often
it.
Starts these conversations.
Yeah, true. Maggie's very curious about our opinions.
Excuse me.
Gordon, thank you. All right, coming up, I actually have a trade proposal for Giants fan Andrew Bogus. And I want him to put himself in the shoes of the Giants GM and see if we can make a deal. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
Hey, where's the freaking gabagoo? Don't make me get the... Hey, I'm walking here.
It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back. We're trying to craft Russell Wilson's new New York personality. We should sit him down in a room. This is how real New Yorkers talk.
I mean, that's basically a live looking at him and CR right now in their house at their breakfast nook. He's just running lines by her.
Yeah, I don't.
Or he's speed watching Sopranos for the first time, so he can make at least a couple of references.
Now, we know Russell could try to fit into any situation. This one feels too extreme. I just can't see the words gabagool coming out of his mouth.
But he's going to try it. Like, he's going to do it. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to be, he can't not be cheesy Russ. So we're getting something.
You think he's going to develop a New York accent? You think he's going to just walk up one day, I live in New York, and I drink water and my coffee?
Or at the very least, he's going to like show up to his opening press conference with like the stereotypical blue coffee cup that you get from the cart on the corner.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Eating a bagel. Like he's going to go all in.
But did Eli Manning ever do any of that?
It doesn't, different people. Eli Manning wouldn't have said Bronco Country, let's ride.
Yeah, Eli kind of got away with being Eli throughout his stay in New York.
Early on, they got on him though.
And then
did they really? Yeah, I was wondering about that. They said what? Well, I mean, he's not a real New Yorker.
They thought he was not a leader. Yeah, all those things were things he had to deal with.
Eli face.
Yeah, kind of all true with Eli. But Eli won two Super Bowls, and then they held on to him way too long. So if you're the Giants, you're sitting at number three in the draft. You get a call. Andrew Bogus from New Orleans at 9. They say they hypothetically really want Shedeur Sanders. Would you move down and not take Shedeur Sanders? Or would you consider calling up to number one for Cam Ward? If you're the Giants, are you trying to move off that three spot, which right now, according to most mock drafts, has you slotted to take Shedeur Sanders? Makes a lot of sense, but there are some people who don't believe he is worth going number three overall.
So my guess is going up to number one is going to be too expensive.
Yeah, you might have to give up a first.
So I think you'd definitely give up next year's first. If the Titans didn't take next year's first and like swapping your first this year, then they're doing it wrong. That feels like a lot, regardless of where that Giant pick would end up next year. So right. I don't think I would go forward. I am, again, intrigued by the idea of going backward, but you've got Jackson Dart to the Jets, so it feels like the Giants can't go any farther back than the Jets. They need to stay in front of the Jets if they want to not take Shedeur and get Jackson Dart instead.
You know, you look at this draft, it feels like there are two guaranteed studs in it, right? Abdul Carter, the Penn State edge, and Travis Hunter, cornerback, wide receiver. Reminds me a little bit of Deion's actual draft. 1989, he was the fifth pick in a crazy draft because number one was Troy Aikman. Two was Tony Mandrich, who former SI cover boy, the big offensive lineman, one of the worst busts in NFL history. Because after that was number three, Lions, Barry Sanders. Four, Derek Thomas to the Chiefs. And five, Deion Sanders to Atlanta. I feel like Abdul Carter is Derek Thomas. I really do believe he's going to be a superstar pass rusher. And obviously, Travis Hunter, to me, is a new Deion. Not only is he going to be possibly a good receiver, if he plays cornerback and he gets an interception, that guy is bringing it to the house, Deion style. Maybe have him as a punt returner. So I look at that three pick. There's two potential Hall of Famers there. I have to be tempted if I'm the Giants because I don't think this is a special quarterback class. So I wonder if the Giants think, oh, man, there are some really good positional players at the top of this draft.
I mean, they have to be for everything that you just laid out. But again, like they can't also leave another draft without like a high pedigree, possible franchise-saving quarterback. They've put themselves, again, in this nearly impossible situation, and you have to take the quarterback when he's there this early in the draft.
You know, I'm not sure that thinking is accurate. You have to look big picture because you have to consider next year's draft. I mean, what's the point of getting a good quarterback, not a great quarterback? Is it the goal to win a Super Bowl? Well, and the question is, can Cam Ward or Shedeur do that?
But to be honest, again, last year's draft had more guys in the top 12 at that position than we thought. And as good as they had been at times, we don't know anything long-term about Michael Penix or Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy. So all three of those teams were in similar positions the Giants are right now.
Well, three's a bit higher than they were.
Yeah, but the draft was different. This draft three is where the intrigue starts, so to speak.
If you're the Giants and say, I don't know, say Travis Hunter goes two and Abdul Carter is sitting there, you've already invested a ton in your defensive line. You're probably not going to take him. But aren't you going to feel bad if he goes on to be a generational player?
Yes. I more so in your scenario, and I'm picking between Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders and Abdul Carter, I'm taking Sanders over Hunter, but I would really want to take Carter over Sanders.
Yeah, I'm curious how people view these prospects. We have some time to break down the draft. I get the sense that people are higher on Abdul Carter than Travis Hunter.
I think there's too many, not questions or doubts about Travis Hunter, but like, what if it doesn't work? He's an elite cornerback or wide receiver, right? But like, the allure of him is him doing both of those things very well. And what if he's actually not elite at one of them in the NFL and he can't do both of them? It's a different projection, and I think that scares people.
EJ, can you put up a poll? We haven't gotten into this yet. If you had a choice, all things equal, Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, who would you draft? I'll bet you, based on the fact that with one arm, Abdul Carter blew up the entire Final Four of the college football playoffs, I think Abdul Carter wins this big time, but I'm not sure every NFL team. I mean, the Giants already have Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau. Do they need Abdul Carter?
No, but if you're taking everything away and you're just picking on who you think is the best player, I would think that that's a landslide for Carter among NFL GMs.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's some Travis Hunter fans. I think Cleveland could use the pizzazz. I call it pizzazz. It's a dad word. Travis Hunter.
I think that word.
A two-way player. If you're a terrible team, there's nothing wrong with a two-way player. All right, coming up, we actually have a new possible draft trend that is all because of my Philadelphia Eagles. And your former player, Saquon Barkley, has changed the way NFL teams think. That's next. Maggie and Perloff Show.